Okay, friends, just a little word here out of Isaiah 42. Yeshayah, the prophet, salvation of God, Isaiah 42, and from the beginning, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the nations. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail or be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law." It says here that he shall not cry nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. He has a particular way of speaking, not by shouting aloud and crying. That is not his normal way of speaking. In other words, when the Master spoke in, Matthew 23 to the Pharisees, by preaching very, very hard to their face, that is not his normal way of speaking. He would communicate like you would speak to a bruised reed, to a smoking flax, not raising his voice, but in a very comfortable way. How do you hear the voice of God now? How do we hear the Lord speak? We know the normal ways, that by the Word, by practicing His Word, what we know, and then we get more understanding. By private study and prayer, meditation, in the fellowship of the Holy Ones, in the body fellowship, we hear the Word of God, or through internet. Yes, all that. And also through the nature, by the voice of the Holy Spirit, by keeping our conscience cleansed, we are prone to hear all that. I'll add one more thought here. When we walk in the light as He is in the light, when we praise God, tell Him back who He is. Tell Him about His greatness, how wonderful He is, how great He is. When we tell Him all that, He speaks back to us. He enlightens us. And in one way, a big part of us hearing God is not so much how to, it is not methods, but it's being rightly positioned towards Him, turning towards Him. It's like tuning a radio, the radio waves. If you ever listen to shortwave radios, you got to really tune it in a particular way. I used to listen to shortwave radios a lot in the past. Very interesting. You got to be tuned in so that some other channel does not disturb you. Yes, and when we then are tuned into Him and begin to tell Him who He is, thanking Him for the cross, for the cleansing blood, giving our sins and burdens to Him, but just focusing on Him, not so much even concentrating on ourselves. We're drawn out of self-consciousness and brought to that big world where He is the center, and particularly the Lamb is the center. So with these words, I really would like us to be encouraged to hear His voice, the voice of the one who does not lift up His voice by shouting normally, but He talks like He would be talking to a bruised reed and a smoking flax. That's what we are. And He constantly brings new life out of His resurrection sources. We have no strength in ourselves, but we have unbelievable strength in His resurrection by the blessed Holy Spirit. That's right. Second question comes to me. How big is your Bible? How big is my Bible? How big is our Bible? There are countries right now that have banned the Bible. Many, many believers do not have the scriptures. So when we say, how big is your Bible, we're not talking about the size of the physical Bible that is on our table, but we're talking about the Bible that is in our hearts. When we have the living word in our heart, we already have the Bible, but the written word is so needed and so helpful that no one would deceive us. Yes, we need the written word. That's one with the living word. If ever a time came that the written word was taken away from us before the Lord comes, I pray that wouldn't be the case, but it is in many places of the world. Then what is hidden in our hearts, no one can steal it away from us. You remember the story, the parable of five virgins who were wise, five virgins who were foolish. The wise one had the extra oil in their vessels. The extra oil in their vessels. Now, if you go to the book of Proverbs, just a second, in the book of Proverbs, the Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27, it says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, or the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Yeah, there's a verse that says, thy word is a lamp. Thy word is the lamp of my feet to my feet. Yes, and a light to my path. The word is the lamp, but the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. So, when we were born in our spirits, born again in our spirits, by that word which is the living word, by the Holy Spirit, yes, then we have the lamp in our spirit. Remember, the wise virgins had the lamp and they had the extra vessel. They had the lamp and they had the extra vessel. But they had oil in their vessels. But the foolish ones had only oil and fire in their lamps. And then in their vessels, they had no extra oil. Here is the point. How big is our Bible? I'm talking spiritually. What is in our vessel? The vessel is very much our soul. What we have hidden, when we've hidden the Word of God in our, we've taken it in our soul, we received it in the reservoir of our soul. So the Spirit is connected there. When the Spirit enlightens that which we have received in our mind, in our willingness to listen to it by the Lord's grace, and also it also helps us feeling right. But when we've received the word, the written word, which the Lord enlightens to us, that enlightened word in our soul, that word cannot be taken away. You remember how the Lord said in a parable that When the people that hear the word and they understand it, that the birds of the air cannot take it away. It will not be quenched. It is in there, in the good ground, and it produces great fruit. So that's our encouragement, that it's really abiding Him also by the word, living word, written word, by the powerful word of God, by practicing what we know. by practicing. Now, one of the ways how to practice this, I will conclude with the following thing. Now, when we have had this, what some people call the corona era, or whatever we say, but many people are lonely, many people feel abandoned, each country has a different situation. Without going into details, sometimes there are groups that are not really groups that teach the Bible. They teach certain things from the Bible, but they also confuse people with the Bible. One of these groups that do not believe that the Messiah has divinity, they only believe that he is human, very perfect in his humanity, but they do not believe that he is, yes, without beginning, that he has also divinity, that he is God, as much as he is man in his nature. They don't believe that. But they write these beautiful letters to people, inviting them to come to their studies, dear neighbor, and even at times they write the person's name because they find it in, well, phone books, whatever. And dear Jane, for example, dear Jane, we realize that you may have been lonely. We have something to encourage you. We have a study where we can search these things together with a cup of hot drink. You are heartily welcome. Well, they have good efforts, but they have zeal without knowledge. God can, by the way, even use that, because we pray that the Lord who said, "My sheep hear my voice, a stranger they will not follow." Some people that have never thought about these things or have grown cold, they may be stirred up to search these things again, or maybe for the first time. But don't we need to pray that they don't get into any heresy? So, all that to say, let us be the ones who do it the right way. Let us be encouraged and hope that many, many believers and many fellowships are inspired by the Spirit of God and the love of God to approach people so that the ones who teach a wrong way, definitely a wrong way, that they would not be able to reap harvest from anyone who should be brought into the kingdom of our Father through the sacrifice of our beloved Savior. Okay, so it was very encouraging when this one man from Scotland shared his testimony. He's living in a small town, and in that, well, I don't know the size of the town, but he said in his neighborhood, the young adults or the teenagers, they had no interest to anything that is in the Bible. They were thinking of other things, and he was considering how to reach them. So he kind of got an idea. He wrote letters which explain what this particular birth of the Messiah means, to relate that story, because amazing as it may sound, a lot of people today have no idea what that story is. Not only here in Israel, but all around the world. This new generation is such. So he put a chocolate bar, small or whatever, chocolate bar and the letter to each one that he gave it or send it. And that, yes, begins to soften the hearts. And they think, who is this nice person that wants to think about us with a chocolate bar? And we'll read the story. And then when comes the next season, in the springtime, he will tell them about Messiah's sacrifice for us and what the Passover message is and how he fulfills the Passover. Totally new ideas to this generation. But with the chocolate bar, there's a good handle to that door. Well, he did it right. So, Lord, let us do things your way, spread your love, be creative, and remember that you are coming soon, and this is not the time to quit hoping, but time to pray, time to pray. And we especially pray that every country would give people the freedoms that are due, that people would not be living in an unnecessary fear or anything of the kind, but that human life could go on so that people can tap into eternal life through our Lord and Savior, the only one who is worthy, Yeshua, the Messiah. In his name we pray and thank you, Lord. Amen.